was a sudden quiet. Jace looked at her steadily, then away. Alec blinked, and Luke looked astounded.
"I've never seen that mark before," he said finally. "Has anyone else?"
"No," Magnus said, "but I don't like it." "I'm not sure what it is or what it means," Clary said, lowering her arm, "but it doesn't come from the Grey Book."
"All runes come from the Grey Book." Jace's voice was firm.
"Not this one," Clary said. "I saw it in a dream."
"In a dream?"
Jace looked as furious as if she were personally insulting him.
"What are you playing at, Clary?"
"I'm not playing at anything. Don't you remember when we were in the Seelie Court?" Jace looked as if she had hit him. Clary went on quickly before he could say anything. "And the Seelie Queen told us we were experiments? That Valentine had done things to us to make us different, special? She told me that mine was the gift of words that cannot be spoken, and yours was the angel's own gift?"
"That was fairy nonsense."
"Fairies don't lie, Jace. Words that cannot be spoken. She meant runes. Each has a different meaning, but they're meant to be drawn, not said aloud." She went on, ignoring his doubtful look. "Remember when you asked me how I'd gotten into your cell in the Silent City? I told you I just used a regular opening rune."
"Was that all you did?" Alec looked surprised. "I got there just after you did, and it looked like someone had ripped that door off its hinges."
"And my rune didn't just unlock the door," Clary said. "It unlocked everything inside the cell, too. It broke Jace's manacles open."
She took a breath.
"I think the queen meant I can draw runes that are more powerful than ordinary runes, and maybe even create new ones."
Jace shook his head. "No one can create new runes."
"Maybe she can, Jace." Alec sounded thoughtful. "It's true. None of us have ever seen that mark on her arm before."
"Alec's right," Luke said. "Clary, why don't you go and get your sketchbook?"
She looked at him in some surprise. His gray blue eyes were tired, a little sunken, but held the same steadiness they'd held when she was 6 years old and he'd promised her that if she climbed the jungle gym in the Prospect Park playground, he'd always be standing underneath it to catch her if she fell. And he always had been.
"Okay," she said. "I'll be right back."
To get to the spare bedroom, Clary had to cross through the kitchen, where she found Maya seated on a stool pulled up to the counter looking miserable.
"Clary," she said, jumping down from the stool, "can I talk to you for a second?"
"I'm just going to my room to get something."
"Look, I'm sorry about what happened with Simon. I was delirious."
"Oh yeah? What happened to all that werewolves are destined to hate vampires business?"
Maya blew out an exasperated breath.
"We are, but I guess I don't have to hurry the process along."
"Don't explain it to me. Explain it to Simon."
Maya flushed again, her cheeks turning dark red.
"I doubt he'll want to talk to me."
"He might. He's pretty forgiving."
Maya looked at her more closely.
"Not that I want to pry, but are you two going out?"
Clary felt herself start to flush and thanked her freckles for providing at least some cover-up.
"Why do you want to know?"
Maya shrugged. "The first time I met him, he referred to you as his best friend, but the second time he called you his girlfriend, I wondered if it was an on-off thing."
"Sort of. We were friends first. It's a long story."
"I see."
Maya's blush had vanished and her tough girl smirk was back on her face.
"Well, you're lucky, that's all. Even if he is a vampire now. You must be pretty used to all sorts of weird stuff being a shadow hunter, so I bet it doesn't faze you."
"It fazes me," Clary said, more sharply than she'd intended. "I'm not Jace."
The smirk widened.
"No one is, and I get the feeling he knows it."
"What's that supposed to mean?"
"Oh, you know. Jace reminds me of an old boyfriend. Some guys look at you like they want sex. Jace looks at you like you've already had sex, it was great, and now you're just friends, even though you want more. Drives girls crazy, you know what I mean?"
"Yes," Clary thought.
"No,"
she said.
"I guess you wouldn't, being his sister. You'll have to take my word on it."
"I have to go." Clary was almost out the kitchen door when something occurred to her and she turned around. "What happened to him?"
Maya blinked.
"What happened to who?"
"The old boyfriend, the one Jace reminds you of."
"Oh," Maya said. "He's the one who turned me into a werewolf."
"All right, I got it," Clary said,
coming back into the living room with her sketch pad in one hand and a box of Prismacolor pencils in the other. She pulled a chair out from the little used dining room table. Luke always ate in the kitchen or in his office, and the table was covered in paper and old bills, and sat down, sketch pad in front of her. She felt as if she were taking a test at art school. Draw this apple. What do you want me to do? What do you think? Jace was still sitting on the piano bench, his shoulders slumped forward. He looked as if he hadn't slept all night. Alec was leaning against the piano behind him, probably because it was as far away from Magnus as he could get. Jace, that's enough. Luke was sitting up straight, but looked as if it were something of an effort. You said you could draw new runes, Clary.
I said I thought so.
Well, I'd like you to try.
Now?
Luke smiled faintly. Unless you've got something else in mind.
Clary flipped the sketch pad to a blank page and stared down at it. Never had a sheet of paper looked quite so empty to her before. She could sense the stillness in the room, everyone watching her. Magnus with his ancient, tempered curiosity. Alec too preoccupied with his own problems to care much for hers. Luke hopefully, and Jace with a cold, frightening blankness. She remembered him saying that he wished he could hate her and wondered if someday he might succeed. She threw her pencil down.
I can't just do it on command like that, not without an idea.
What kind of idea? Said Luke.
I mean, I don't even know what runes already exist. I need to know a meaning, a word, before I can draw a rune for it.
It's hard enough for us to remember every rune, Alec began, but Jace, to Clary's surprise, cut him off. How about, he said quietly, fearless.
Fearless? She echoed.
There are runes for bravery, said Jace, but never anything to take away fear. But if you, as you say, can create new runes. He glanced around and saw Alex and Luke's surprised expressions. Look, I just remembered that there isn't one, that's all, and it seems harmless enough.
Clary looked over at Luke, who shrugged.
Fine, he said.
Clary took a dark gray pencil from the box and set the tip of it to the paper. She thought of shapes, lines, curlicues. She thought of the signs in the gray book, ancient and perfect, embodiments of a language too faultless for speech. A soft voice spoke inside her head. Who are you to think you can speak the language of heaven? The pencil moved. She was almost sure she hadn't moved it, but it slid across the paper, describing a single line. She felt her heart skip. She thought of her mother, sitting dreamily before her canvas, creating her own vision of the world in ink and oil paint. She thought, who am I? I am Jocelyn Frey's daughter. The pencil moved again, and this time her breath caught. She found she was whispering the word under her breath. Fearless. Fearless. The pencil looped back up, and now she was guiding it rather than being guided by it. When she was done, she set the pencil down and gazed for a moment, wonderingly at the result. The completed Fearless rune was a matrix of strongly swirling lines, a rune as bold and aerodynamic as an eagle. She tore the page free and held it up so the others could see it. There, she said, and was rewarded by the startled look on Luke's face. So he hadn't believed her, and the fractional widening of Jace's eyes.
Cool, Alec said.
Jace got to his feet and crossed the room, taking the sheet of paper out of her hand.
But does it work?
Clary wondered if he meant the question or if he was just being nasty.
What do you mean?
I mean, how do we know it works? Right now it's just a drawing. You can't take fear away from a piece of paper. It doesn't have any to begin with. We have to try it out on one of us before we can be sure it's a real rune.
I'm not sure that's such a great idea, Luke said.
It's a fabulous idea.
Jace dropped the paper back onto the table and began to slide off his jacket.
I've got a Stella we can use, who wants to do me.
A regrettable choice of words, muttered Magnus.
Luke stood up.
No, he said. Jace, you already behave as if you've never heard the word fear. I fail to see how we're going to be able to tell the difference if it does work on you.
Alex stifled what sounded like a laugh. Jace simply smiled a tight, unfriendly smile.
I've heard the word fear, he said. I simply choose to believe it doesn't apply to me.
Exactly the problem, said Luke.
Well, why don't I try it on you then? Clary said, but Luke shook his head.
You can't mark downworlders, Clary. Not with any real effect. The demon disease that causes lycanthropy prevents the marks from taking effect.
Then, try it on me, Alex said unexpectedly. I could do with some fearlessness. He slid his jacket off, tossed it over the piano stool, and crossed the room to stand in front of Jace. Here, mark my arm. Jace glanced over at Clary.
Unless you think you should do it.
She shook her head. No, you're probably better at actually applying marks than I am. Jace shrugged.
Roll up your sleeve, Alec.
Obediently, Alec rolled his sleeve up. There was already a permanent mark on his upper arm, an elegant scroll of lines meant to give him perfect balance. They all leaned forward, even Magnus, as Jace carefully traced the outlines of the fearless rune on Alec's arm, just below the existing mark. Alec winced as the stele traced its burning path across his skin. When Jace was done, he slid his stele back into his pocket and stood a moment admiring his handiwork.
Well, it looks nice, at least, he announced. Whether it works or not.
Alec touched the new mark with his fingertips, then glanced up to find everyone else in the room staring at him. So? Clary said.
So what?
Alec rolled his sleeve down, covering the mark. So how do you feel? Any different? Alec looked, considering.
Not really.
Jace threw his hands up.
So it doesn't work.
Not necessarily, Luke said. There might simply be nothing going on that might activate it. Perhaps there isn't anything here that Alec is afraid of.
Magnus glanced at Alec and raised his eyebrows.
Boo, he said.
Jace was grinning. Come on, surely you've got a phobia or two. What scares you? Alec thought for a moment.
Spiders, he said.
Clary turned to Luke. Have you got a spider anywhere?
Luke looked exasperated. Why would I have a spider? Do I look like someone who would collect them? No offense, Jay said, but you kind of do.
You know, Alec's tone was sour, maybe this was a stupid experiment. What about the dark? Clary suggested. We could lock you in the basement.
I'm a demon hunter, Alec said with exaggerated patience. Clearly, I am not afraid of the dark.
Well, you might be,
but I'm not.
Clary was spared replying by the buzz of the doorbell. She looked over at Luke, raising her eyebrows. Simon?
Couldn't be. It's daylight.
Oh, right. She'd forgotten again. Do you want me to get it?
No.
He stood up with only a short grunt of pain.
I'm fine. It's probably someone wondering why the bookstore's shut.
He crossed the room and threw the door open. His shoulders went stiff with surprise. Clary heard the bark of a familiar, stridently angry female voice. And a moment later, Isabel and Mayris Lightwood pushed past Luke and strode into the room, followed by the gray, menacing figure of the Inquisitor. Behind them was a tall and burly man, dark-haired and olive-skinned, with a thick black beard. Though it had been taken many years ago, Clary recognized him from the old photo Hodge had showed her. This was Robert Lightwood, Alec and Isabel's father. Magnus's head went up with a snap. Jace paled markedly, but showed no other emotion. And Alec? Alec stared from his sister, to his mother, to his father, and then looked at Magnus. His clear, light blue eyes darkened with a hard resolution. He took a step forward, placing himself between his parents and everyone else in the room. Mayris, on seeing her eldest son in the middle of Luke's living room, did a double take.
Alec, what on earth are you doing here? I thought I made it clear that—
Mother?
Alec's voice as he interrupted his mother was firm, implacable, and not unkind.
Father, there's something I have to tell you. He smiled at them. I'm seeing someone.
Robert Lightwood looked at his son with some exasperation.
Alec, he said, this is hardly the time.
Yes, it is. This is important. You see, I'm not just seeing anyone. Words seemed to be pouring out of Alec in a torrent, while his parents looked on in confusion. Isabel and Magnus were staring at him with expressions of nearly identical astonishment.
I'm seeing a downworlder. In fact, I'm seeing a war—
Magnus's fingers moved, quick as a flash of light, in Alec's direction. There was a faint shimmer in the air around Alec, his eyes rolled up, and he dropped to the floor, felled like a tree.
Alec!
Mayris clapped her hand to her mouth. Isabel, who had been standing closest to her brother, dropped down beside him.
But Alec had already begun to stir, his eyelids fluttering open. Why am I on the floor?
That's a good question.
Isabel glowered down at her brother.
What was that?
What was what?
Alec sat up, holding his head. A look of alarm crossed his face.
Wait, did I say anything? Before I passed out, I mean?
Jace snorted.
You know how we were wondering if that thing Clary did would work or not? He asked. It works all right.
Alec looked supremely horrified.
What did I say?
You said you were seeing someone, his father told him, though you weren't clear as to why that was important.
It's not, Alec said. I mean, I'm not seeing anyone, and it's not important, or it wouldn't be if I was seeing someone, which I'm not.
Magnus looked at him as if he were an idiot.
Alec's been delirious, he said. Side effect of some demon toxins. Most unfortunate, but he'll be fine soon.
Demon toxins?
Maris's voice had become shrill.
No one reported a demon attack to the Institute. What is going on here, Lucian? This is your house, isn't it? You know perfectly well if there's been a demon attack, you're supposed to report it.
Luke was attacked too, Clary said. He's been unconscious.
How convenient. Everyone's either unconscious or apparently delirious, said the Inquisitor.
Her knife-like voice cut through the room, silencing everyone.
Downworlder, you know perfectly well that Jonathan Morgenstern should not be in your house. He should have been locked up in the Warlock's care.
I have a name, you know, Magnus said.
Not, he added, seeming to think twice about interrupting the Inquisitor, that matters, really. In fact, forget all about it.
I know your name, Magnus Bane, said the Inquisitor.
You failed in your duty once. You won't get another chance.
Failed in my duty? Magnus frowned. Just by bringing the boy here? There was nothing in the contract I signed that said I couldn't bring him with me at my own discretion.
That wasn't your failure, the Inquisitor said. Letting him see his father last night, that was your failure.
There was a stunned silence. Alec scrambled up off the floor, his eyes seeking out Jace's, but Jace wouldn't look at him. His face was a mask.
That's ridiculous, Luke said.
Clary had rarely seen him look so angry.
Jace doesn't even know where Valentine is. Stop hounding him.
Hounding is what I do, Downworlder, said the Inquisitor. It's my job.
She turned to Jace.
Tell the truth now, boy, she said, and it will all be much easier.
Jace raised his chin.
I don't have to tell you anything. If you're innocent, why not exonerate yourself? Tell us where you really were last night. Tell us about Valentine's little pleasure boat.
Clary stared at him.
I went for a walk, he'd said.
But that didn't mean anything. Maybe he really had gone for a walk. But her heart, her stomach felt sick.
You know what the worst feeling you can have is? Simon had said. Not trusting the person you love more than anything else in the world.
When Jace didn't speak, Robert Lightwood said in his deep bass voice,
Imogen, you're saying Valentine was...
On a boat in the middle of the East River, said the Inquisitor.
That's correct.
That's why I couldn't find him, Magnus said, half to himself. All that water, it disrupted my spell.
What's Valentine doing in the middle of the river? Luke said, bewildered.
Ask Jonathan, said the Inquisitor.
He borrowed a motorcycle from the head of the city's vampire clan and he flew it to the boat. Isn't that right, Jonathan?
Jace said nothing. His face was unreadable. The Inquisitor, though, looked hungry, as if she were feeding off the suspense in the room.
Reach into the pocket of your jacket, she said. Take out the object you've been carrying with you since you last left the Institute.
Slowly, Jace did as she asked. As he drew his hand out of his pocket, Clary recognized the shimmering blue-gray object he held, the piece of the portal mirror.
Give it to me.
The Inquisitor snatched it out of his hand. He winced. The edge of the glass had cut him, and blood welled up along his palm. Maris made a soft noise but didn't move.
I knew you'd return to the Institute for this, said the Inquisitor, positively gloating now. I knew your sentimentality wouldn't allow you to leave it behind. What is it?
Robert Lightwood sounded bewildered.
A bit of a portal in mirror form, said the Inquisitor. When the portal was destroyed, the image of its last destination was preserved.
She turned the bit of glass over in her long, spidery fingers.
In this case, the Wayland Country House.
Jace's eyes followed the movement of the mirror. In the bit of it Clary could see, there seemed to be a trapped piece of blue sky. She wondered if it ever rained in Idris. With a sudden violent motion at odds with her calm tone, the Inquisitor dashed the piece of mirror to the ground. It shattered instantly into powdery shards. Clary heard Jace suck his breath in, but he didn't move. The Inquisitor drew on a pair of gray gloves and knelt among the bits of mirror, sifting them through her fingers until she found what she was looking for, a single sheet of thin paper. She stood, holding it up for everyone in the room to see the thick rune written on it in black ink. I marked this paper with a tracking rune and slipped it between the bit of mirror and its backing. Then I replaced it in the boy's room. Don't feel bad for not noticing it, she said to Jace. Older heads and wiser than yours have been fooled by the clave. You've been spying on me? Jace said, and now his voice was colored with anger. Is that what the clave does? Invade the privacy of its fellow shadow hunters to— Be careful what you say to me. You are not the only one who's broken the law. The Inquisitor's chilly gaze slid around the room. In releasing you from the Silent City, in freeing you from the Warlock's control, your friends have done the same. Jace isn't our friend, said Isabel. He's our brother. I'd be careful what you say, Isabel Lightwood, said the Inquisitor. You could be considered complicit.
Complicit?
To everyone's surprise, it was Robert Lightwood who had spoken.
The girl was just trying to keep you from shattering our family. For God's sake, Imogen, these are all just children.
Children? The Inquisitor turned her icicle gaze on Robert.
Just as you were children when the Circle plotted the destruction of the clave? Just as my son was a child when he—
She caught herself with a sort of gasp, as if gaining control of herself by main force.
So this is about Stephen, after all, said Luke, with a sort of pity in his voice. Imogen.
The Inquisitor's face contorted.
This is not about Stephen. This is about the law.
Mayris's thin fingers twisted as her hands worked at each other. And Jace, she said, what's going to happen to him?
He will return to Idris with me tomorrow, said the Inquisitor. You forfeited your right to know any more than that.
How can you take him back to that place? Clary demanded. When will he come back?
Clary, don't, Jace said.
The words were a plea, but she battled on. Jace isn't the problem here. Valentine is the problem.
Leave it alone, Clary, Jace yelled. For your own good, leave it alone.
Clary couldn't help herself. She flinched away from him. He'd never shouted at her like that, not even when she dragged him to their mother's hospital room. She saw the look on his face as he registered her flinch and wished she could take it back somehow. Before she could say anything else, Luke's hand descended onto her shoulder. He spoke, sounding as grave as he had the night he told her the story of his life.
If the boy went to his father, he said, knowing the kind of father Valentine was, it is because we failed him, not because he has failed us.
Save your sophistry, Lucian, said the Inquisitor. You've gone as soft as a mundane.
She's right. Alec was sitting on the edge of the sofa, his arms crossed and his jaw set.
Jace lied to us. There's no excuse for that.
Jace's jaw dropped. He'd been sure of Alec's loyalty, at least. And Clary didn't blame him. Even Isabel was staring at her brother in horror. Alec, how can you say that?
The law is the law, Izzy, said Alec, not looking at his sister. There's no way around that.
At that, Isabel gave a little gasping cry of rage and astonishment and bolted out the front door, letting it swing open behind her. Mayris made a move as if to follow her, but Robert drew his wife back, saying something in a low voice.
Magnus got to his feet. I do believe that's my cue to leave as well, he said.
Clary noticed he was avoiding looking at Alec.
I'd say it's been nice meeting you all, but in fact, it hasn't. It's been quite awkward, and frankly, the next time I see a single one of you will be far too soon.
Alec stared at the ground as Magnus stalked out of the living room and through the front door. This time it shut behind him with a bang.
Two down, said Jace, with ghastly amusement. Who's next?
That's enough from you, said the Inquisitor. Give me your hands.
Jace held his hands out as the Inquisitor produced a stele from some hidden pocket and proceeded to trace a mark around the circumference of his wrists. When she took her hands away, Jace's wrists were crossed, one over the other, bound together with what looked like a circlet of burning flames. Clary cried out, "What are you doing? You'll hurt him!"
"I'm fine, little sister."
Jace spoke calmly enough, but she noticed that he couldn't seem to look at her.
"The flames won't burn me unless I try to get my hands free."
"And as for you," the Inquisitor added and turned on Clary, much to Clary's surprise. Up until now, the Inquisitor had barely seemed to notice she was alive.
"You were lucky enough to be raised by Jocelyn and escape your father's taint. Nevertheless, I'll be keeping an eye on you."
Luke's grip tightened on Clary's shoulder.
"Is that a threat?"
"The Clave does not make threats, Lucian Greymark. The Clave makes promises and keeps them."
The Inquisitor sounded almost cheerful.
She was the only one in the room who could be described that way. Everyone else looked shell-shocked, except for Jace. His teeth were bared in a snarl Clary doubted he was even aware of. He looked like a lion in a trap.
"Come, Jonathan," the Inquisitor said. "Walk in front of me. If you make a single move to flee, I'll put a blade between your shoulders."
Jace had to struggle to turn the front doorknob with his bound hands. Clary set her teeth to keep from screaming, and then the door was open and Jace was gone, and so was the Inquisitor. The Lightwoods followed in a line, Alex still staring at the ground. The door shut behind them, and Clary and Luke were alone in the living room, silent in shared disbelief.
Chapter 15. The Serpent's Tooth.
"Luke," Clary began the moment the door had shut behind the Lightwoods, "what are we going to do?"
Luke had his hands pressed to either side of his head as if he were keeping it from splitting in half.
"Coffee," he declared. "I need coffee."
"I brought you coffee."
He dropped his hands and sighed.
"I need more."
Clary followed him into the kitchen where he helped himself to yet more coffee before sitting down at the kitchen table and running his hands distractedly through his hair.
"This is bad," he said. "Very bad."
"You think?"
Clary couldn't imagine drinking coffee right now. Her nerves already felt like they were stretched out as thin as wires.
"What happens if they take him to Idris?"
"Trial before the Clave. They'll probably find him guilty. Then punishment. He's young, so they might just strip his marks, not curse him."
"What does that mean?"
Luke didn't meet her eyes.
"It means they'll take his marks away. Unmake him as a shadow hunter and throw him out of the Clave. He'll be a mundane."
"But that would kill him. It really would. He'd rather die."
"Don't you think I know that?"
Luke had finished his coffee and stared morosely at the mug before setting it back down.
"But that won't make any difference to the Clave. They can't get their hands on Valentine, so they'll punish his son instead."
"What about me? I'm his daughter."
"But you're not of their world. Jace is. Not that I don't suggest you lie low for a while yourself. I wish we could head up to the farmhouse."
"We can't just leave Jace with them." Clary was appalled. "I'm not going anywhere."
"Of course you aren't." Luke waved away her protest. "I said I wish we could, not that I thought we should. There's the question of what Imogen will do now that she knows where Valentine is, of course. We could find ourselves in the middle of a war."
"I don't care if she wants to kill Valentine. She's welcome to Valentine. I just want to get Jace back."
"That may not be so easy," said Luke, "considering that, in this case, he actually did what he's accused of doing."
Clary was outraged. "What, you think he killed the Silent Brothers? You think—"
"No, I don't think he killed the Silent Brothers. I think he did exactly what Imogen saw him do. He went to see his father."
Remembering something, Clary asked, "What did you mean when you said we'd failed him, not the other way around? You mean you don't blame him?"
"I do and I don't." Luke looked weary. "It was a stupid thing to do. Valentine isn't to be trusted. But when the Lightwoods turned their backs on him, what did they expect him to do? He's still just a child. He still needs parents. If they won't have him, he'll go looking for someone who will."
"I thought maybe," said Clary, "maybe he was looking to you for that."
Luke looked unutterably sad.
"I thought so too, Clary. I thought so too."
Very faintly, Maya could hear the sound of voices coming from the kitchen. They were done with all their shouting in the living room. Time to get out. She folded up the note she'd scribbled hastily, left it on Luke's bed, and